This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Label Clothing Company. They have been a huge supporter of mine for many years now. And anytime you see me wearing a dress shirt or a suit, it is from them. Everything is custom made. And anyone who knows me knows I hate wearing suits and I hate wearing dress shirts. I not only look dapper, but the clothes feel great and wear really well. So anyone in the need of a custom suit, definitely hit them up. You can find them online at label.co. What is up, everybody? Anthony Vasquez here, joined today by my good friend Pezzi from Pezzi Cash Events. We get into his lifelong passion of creating and designing events. He is one of the most energetic human beings you will ever meet, and he definitely brings that vibrance and his flair for the dramatic to the events that he works on. So without further ado, I bring you my friend, event coordinator, and all-around awesome human being, Pezzi Cash. What is up, everybody? Today, I am joined by my good friend and my guest, Pezzi Cash from Pezzi Cash Events. So this is long overdue, Pezzi, that we sit down and talk. Of all the people I know in the wedding industry, I think our relationship could be potentially one of the longest. I think we go back 15 years. And you've had like a crazy journey from where you started to where you are now. And I think given today's day and age, something we talk about a lot on the show is that people lose the concept of starting from scratch, starting from the bottom. And you've held many positions in this business starting 15 years ago when we both started from the bottom and now have stuck with it. And I think that's a testament, and people need to realize, especially that if you want something, you really have to stay the course. You know, you can't just expect for it to happen overnight.
Keep the eyes on the prize.
So if you would just give yourself a little intro and we'll get into it.
Absolutely. My name is Pezzi Cash. I'm from Pezzi Cash Events. And like you said, I've been in this business now for 15 years. Have many positions.
Gotcha. Well, the way your skin looks, though, 15 years is, you're only 20 now, right? You started when you were 5.
Sure. 22. Well, you're at it. Yeah, it's been a interesting journey. Exciting. A lot of learnings. But I love what I do. That's cool. Why I stuck with it.
Cool. So what first got you into this, and how'd you start?
Well, I like to think that this business kind of chose me.
Yep.
I was in the second year of graduate school,
mm-hmm.
and I was kind of forced out of the closet. And
Literally.
Okay. And that kind of changed my entire life.
Mm.
I come from a Persian background,
sure.
And I think you know, since you work with a lot of Persian in the community. And the expectation was something else, and
sure.
I just was at the right place at the right time, and somebody who still is big, but was really big at the time and had his own TV show, saw something and took me under his wing, and I was with him for 3 years, and the rest is kind of a history.
Sure.
Kind of grew from there. I held different positions with different companies, and here we are.
Okay, so you mentioned something about like forced to come out of the closet. So just sort of this context around that, being a gay man from a Middle Eastern culture, obviously not very well received or respected, I'm assuming, especially when you go back 17
years. It doesn't exist, sir.
Doesn't exist, yeah. I mean, so, but also too, for context, in 2002, things were very different than they are in 2019 in terms of that as well.
Well, the community itself is so tight-knitted and everybody knows everyone, just like our community in this industry. But for me, I thought it would kind of blow over. So I kind of lived my life for a year, but then I realized, no, this is not going away. So I had to go on my own and learn really quickly, which worked out for the best. I was a spoiled little kid who had no idea about the concept of life, the money. And I had to learn.
Sure.
I had to learn quickly.
So when you say spoiled little kid, you mean you walked away from a comfortable lifestyle?
I had to.
Okay.
I had to, or I had to turn straight and marry a chosen one that was already chosen for me and live a lie.
And this was over and around, though, not here.
That was here, actually.
Okay.
After I moved here. I moved here in 2000, and when I moved here, I was, you know, baggy jeans, oversized t-shirt, a skull cap,
and yo this and yo that,
and now I wear fringes.
Obviously a little bit more comfortable these days with
yes,
who you are.
Absolutely. I just don't give a shit. Can
yeah.
you say that?
Yeah, you can curse.
I just don't
Fuck,
give a shit.
There you go.
I just don't give a shit anymore. I'm true to who I am. I love my life. I love my husband and everything that comes with it. So I love my job.
So how do you feel that factored into who you are as a business owner now? Because I'm assuming you can't separate the two. So the context of maybe not being accepted as to who you were, and then having to overcome that, which is, you know, for people who haven't had that, I'm sure is a massive obstacle to overcome in life when your family may not recognize you for who you truly are.
It was tough. Yeah. You know, I got married 3 years ago. You shot the wedding. Yes. And for me to see my mom on the dance floor with me, I have a photo of it that you took. I will do it all over again just to have that moment. Mm. It was a huge, huge life turning moment for me. And it was important. I never thought I would see that day for me and my husband to be on a dance floor and my mom to celebrate it with us. My dad's still out of the picture because it's just not accepted. And I am the oldest son and who was supposed to carry the business and get into jewelry. And that was not my thing. And it was tough. But it was the best thing that could ever happen to me because, as you know, where I was 15 years ago to where I am today, I have not had help from anyone. Sure. This is all me from the beginning to an end, and I'm very proud of what I've accomplished and hopefully what I'm going to accomplish in the next 10 years.
So would you say, fair enough to say then, that like that major life obstacle was a catalyst for you?
Yes, absolutely. It strived me to do better, and I was forced into it. It wasn't a choice. Either you work it out and figure it out, or there was no other option. So this was it. Mm-hmm. I needed to adjust. I needed to learn, and I needed to grow.
Yeah, there's a saying: if you want to accomplish something, sink the boat and stand yourself on the island. You'll figure a way to get off.
Because
if you have a way to, if you have a way to escape. Most of the times human beings will take the route of least resistance, which isn't necessarily the best route.
Which is the easiest way. And then we work
and
we see people who have that and who is super successful at 23 and 24. But do they have the same concept of what life is really sure. about and the value of working hard to achieve your goals, which I think is so much sweeter than having it handed out to you. But it would have made my life so much easier if I was not forced out and potentially lived for another 5 years. But these are all hypothetical. At this point,
sure.
I'm very happy where I am.
So no regrets on that decision?
No regrets whatsoever. It was meant to happen. I am such a firm believer that everything happened for a reason. And this was a reason for me to be able to get where I am today. I perhaps would have not met my husband if none of this would have happened. So.
I mean, I even think back, I know that one of the companies you were working for closed, right? And
yes.
Had that not had happened.
That was the second company that I worked for.
And I know you were with them for a really long time.
I
remember that story. And you know, through that company, you probably made a lot of your connections. But if they never went out of business, if that didn't come to an end.
The next opportunity would never come along
because you would have.
I mean, it would have eventually happened, but the sequence of it and timing of it would have been.
But you very well may have just stayed there.
Yes.
If things were good and you were making good money, why leave?
I would have been comfortable and I would have stayed there. But I had bigger goals even when I was there, as you know.
Of course.
It's just the progression of it and the timing of it. It's all about being in the right place at the right time and having the right opportunity. So again, happens for a reason. The timing of it is everything.
So tell me now, where are your focuses? So let's go back first. You started with the catering company.
Started with a planning person, and then I went to a catering company.
And the catering company is really where you learn the bones of the business?
Absolutely. Well, the planning helped me to learn about the events, the decor, the catering was about the food. And then I went into different venues. Then I work with a few florists. And today I manage two venues with their social events and some of the corporate events. And I have my own company. So I feel like I'm in a unique position because I have the diversity in multifaceted of this industry that make me a better person as a planner designer to help my clients to accomplish what they want because I've been around for so long. Even now, we did not have a big social media presence until 2 years ago when we opened our account, which was October of 2017 or 18. Mm-hmm. And we've had a tremendous growth since then. But as you know, majority of my work comes from a word of mouth. I would say good 95% of it. And I am very prideful of that because there is nothing that can substitute the word of mouth. Mm-hmm. No matter, I don't have a big, you know, network of people who come in and do my marketing or do my social media. we do it all ourselves, and we want to keep it that way, at least for now, sure. until we tremendously get big. And I'm not even sure if I want to get tremendously huge. I just want to make sure that I am happy in what I'm doing and being able to translate that to my clients. So it'd be a kind of a once in a lifetime opportunity for me and a once in a lifetime memory for them.
You know, I think that's a really smart way to look at it as well. And I think what people don't realize is, you know, sometimes we bite on more than we can chew, and we think the grass is always going to be greener on the other side. And it not necessarily is, because if you blow up something, a company, let's say, and take it to the next level, there's a trade-off to that success. There's always going to be a trade-off.
Absolutely.
And as I've grown older, I see that trade-off, which is, you know, no time for your family, or in our case, no weekends off, or no weekdays and no weekends off. And
7 days a week.
7 days, 7 days
always
a week, because
on.
It's you're prepping for the weekends weddings all the time, booking new business during the week, and then executing the weekends. So as that grows, the demand on you and the demand it takes, you know, when you're not at your kids' baseball games because you're at an event, like at a certain point, families get tired of that shit, you know, and it the kids don't understand. They don't get it. They just know that you're not there.
And I don't think this is something that we talk enough about in the industry. I know we talk about health and the mind for us to be less stressed, but for us in the industry, because we work so hard. When you have your own company, managing that alone is difficult. But imagine with me personally, I manage also two other buildings. So I literally work 7 days a week. And the plan for the future is to work less, to be able to have a work-life balance. So one wouldn't necessarily suffer. Finding that right balance for me is the goal, to make sure not only I have a successful business, but also I have a successful life.
Yeah.
Because to me, they're so connected with each other. One wouldn't make sense without the other.
No,
at
no.
least in this point of my life. If you might have asked me 5 years ago, I would not have given it. I would want to work 7 days a week.
I think in your 20s and your early 30s, to have that, you need to have that all or nothing, because ultimately that's what builds your platform for your late.
And you're
30s
building yourself. You're setting exactly. Yeah. You're setting yourself up for 30s
but
and 40s.
When you hit the 30s, you know, everyone's on this whole like work-life balance shit right now. And it's the most fucking ridiculous concept in certain
but
ways.
But also the priorities changes, you know, and shifts as you get older.
Because people go, you know, I want more work-life balance. Okay. But then if they're not working there on Instagram anyway, looking at other people working. So there's this constant connection. It's not, there's no separation between the two. So for me, it's like, okay, how do we look at this and say, when I'm not working, how do I shut off? Because there's no work-life balances, right? We're connected 7 days a week. But how do I, when I'm not at work, when I'm doing something with family, how can I be fully present in those moments instead of constantly being connected to either my phone, my office, an email? Because at the end of the day, you know, I can't remember the last time I got an email that was an emergency. You know, it's been years.
Maybe you can't. No. I can tell you on an
But a true emergency. They're not.
They're not true emergencies.
No.
It's a true emergency. But for me
correct.
And you, it's
correct.
Really
we're not curing
may not
cancer.
Be as significant
no.
as it
correct.
We can manage this the next
we're
morning.
Not doctors.
But I get the text message at 1 o'clock in the morning. But when you have a bride who's getting married that weekend, I cannot respond.
You have to respond.
Absolutely.
But we're not curing. I always say, but we're not curing cancer here.
No.
What we do is important. But in the grand scheme of things, you know, I think about how many times, instead of replying at midnight, just waiting till the next day and writing a more cohesive, friendlier email.
We are not in that
response.
Business, sir. Yeah. It's literally the most stressful business that you could possibly be. And I tell my brides and my people that I work with, I become your friends. I become your psychiatrist. Sometimes I become your pharmacist if you need half a Xanax. Whatever it takes. But really, it never stops. You're sure. on 24/7. But can I just tell you something, Anthony? That drives me. That excites me. That motivates me. What I do, I become part of somebody's forever history. Yeah. And that to me is the biggest motivation and biggest excitement. I may forget them in a year or so, but they will never forget me because I'm part of their forever history and forever life.
So I know we're talking about all the things that got you to here, but now that you're here, we're sitting here talking, what are some of the hurdles that you're currently faced with in the growth of your business and where you want to go to the next step? Because I know you're looking to level up, right? And that's always the goal, is to take it to the next step. So what are some things you need to overcome?
We are trying to figure it out. What would the next step means? Mm. I am very comfortable where I am right now. And by comfortable, I mean a steady growth, which is is good, but where I've also positioned myself in a way that I try to work with people that I have a connection with and I like working with. That means the people in the industry, and that means the clients that we meet. Because again, with my position, I feel like every time that we go to meet with a client who's interviewing us potentially for a possible job, we are interviewing back to make sure we are a right fit for each other. 5 years ago, any client who would come in, I will try my best to capture the client and book the party. Now, the tables have changed. I don't have to. I don't need to book that party unless it's a right fit for us. For me, creating promoters within this business with the client is what have made me successful growing, because like I said, word of mouth. So if I have a great experience with a client, then I have a better business because it grows naturally and organically. As far as the hurdles there, you know, it's all a learning curve. I'm constantly trying to learn from every single mistake that I make and just grow from it. I don't know if there is any one specific hurdle for me that I'm having a hard time overcoming. Really, I know we said work-life balance and everybody's talking about it, but the priority for me right now is to create a business model that in 2-3 years, I would be able to spend more time. I want to have a family. Mm-hmm. I want to have a kid. It's one of my biggest goals and aspiration in life. Right now, working 7 days a week and living in a shoebox is just not in the fault. So the plan is for in 2 years, we've gotten to a place that instead of having, I don't know, 30, 40 parties a year, we can take 20 parties a year and just focus on those 20 parties. And then the rest of it, we can focus just as much in our personal life to grow the family, because it's important to us. It's important to me.
Yeah. No, I think those are really, really important. And I think, you know, you have to really plan, not that you have to plan a family out, but I don't think it's just fair to say, okay, we're going to have a kid and then all of a sudden you're never home. You know, and
I'm not going to be that parent who are not ready for it. Yeah. I want to make sure I'm prepared. I'm ready because, you know, we could have had a kid last May, but we paused to make sure we are ready before we bring somebody else in our life. Because if I'm working like this, not a realistic situation for me to be able to keep the family and then work at the same time.
So you mentioned before, right, as in running the venues and also having your own business. I think it's really smart because what it alleviates is
the pressure of booking.
So to point out what you're doing is you've set yourself up where with this consulting work through the venues and working with the venues is you put yourself in a position where you have weekly income.
Correct.
And so you know X amount of dollars is hitting your bank account, we'll just say arbitrarily, correct, every Monday.
Yes.
And I think that's really smart, especially in this industry, because there's high season, low season. There's no season.
Yes, like, absolutely.
Some winters are terrible. Some winters are good. But if you have a bad winter, you potentially don't have a job for a month or two.
Yes.
But the bills are still there. The rent's still there. The car payment's still there. The health insurance, whatever you need to pay, yes, is doesn't leave. And then you have a windfall of income in an 8 week or 12 week period, and then maybe not as much. So if you're able to set yourself up where you have that weekly deposit and, you know, call it $10 a week, right? You know, $10 is being deposited on Monday. Obviously it's more than that.
Yeah.
But then you don't have to go find that $10 somewhere else, or you don't have to stress about the week before. Should I take this client who I know is absolutely fucking wrong for me and in no way, shape or form do I want to do it,
yeah,
but I literally need the money. So now I have to take the client.
And I learned that really early on. We opened the business, the Pidgey Cash event almost a decade ago. And initially, there were seasons that we had nothing, and managing the life, sure, was not. And so I learned quickly, how can I get away so I can still have an income, but grow my own and find a right client for myself. And then that's how the two venues ago that you know about them came along, sure, and they work with me. And finding a venue, because the challenge is finding a venue who works with you to allow you to do your own thing and still manage.
Of course.
I'm elevating their brand, but in the interim, I'm also working on my own. And this is the second year for us to have an overhead. And you know what's that like And it's super, super, super stressful. Honestly, it's just, it's something that helps tremendously knowing that the people who work with me and work for me are taken care of. So I can, I don't have to be as stressful and I can focus on the things that help the business grow to be the place that I want it to be. Then I don't have to worry about that. The problem with our industry is it has become so saturated. And especially in the upcoming year, I have a feeling if you don't have your finances right, you may not be able to survive because everybody's hurting these days. But this way or this way of business helped me to alleviate that pressure so I can float and I can go forward and curate the people that I want to work with, which makes my life so much easier. Mm.
Yeah, that's a beautiful thing because
people are catching on. I just wanted to know that I was the very first one.
The reality is if you have to take those clients, it can be hell because those are the clients that are going to complain. Those are the clients that are never going to be satisfied with what you do.
I'm not even thinking about the during the process itself. I'm thinking about the end result because if those people are not happy at the end, then
well, they're not going to be happy in the beginning. Why are they going to be happy in the end? 110%. I mean, you know, when somebody walks into my place of business and I can get that vibe off of them, I know there's absolutely nothing that's going to make them happy. And, you know, we have one client from last year and you know, I had a feeling and I was right about it. You know, and again, it's not us. It's just those are people that are never going to be satisfied. If they have a Lamborghini, they'd rather a Ferrari. If they have a Ferrari, they'd rather a Lamborghini. It just is what it is.
But that being said, at least I've been fortunate. Yep. I may have had in my entire career a handful of them. So I'm really lucky. And those people was a learning curve for me. So that's why it helped me to have a better understanding when I speak to clients what to look for that would make them to be my promoter instead of the attractor. So that just this past, I don't know, 3 weekends ago when they had an amazing party and this particular bride who I adore, since 3 weeks ago, I've booked 4 parties just from this one event. That to me means more than any other promotional tool or company that I could use to help to elevate my brand. These people who I work with are the people who help me to get bigger and get better.
Mm. So you talked before about when you decided to come out, right? I know it's probably a little bit sensitive.
It wasn't emotional. A choice, but yeah. Yes.
Okay. So when you say it wasn't a choice, what do you mean?
I was kind of found it out. Yeah. And that didn't really set well with my mom, who was here with me in the States. And that kind of just snowballed to something much bigger because of the community. And at the end of the day, it was America's fault who turned me gay. So either it was my choice to go back and start in a family business or stay here on my own and figure it out on my own without any help from anybody else. Mm. And that was a tough decision because I did not know how to live on my own or I did not know how to take care of myself. I had 2 cars and an unlimited credit card and an amazing apartment in Chelsea. And once that was all taken away, things had to change. And that's why school was no longer an option.
Mm.
Again, happened for a reason. I would not have been the person that I am today if that would not have happened for me.
What was that like going through it at that time?
It was tough. Initially, I had no idea because I had enough money in the bank to sustain me for a year. Mm. And I ran through that really
less
quickly.
Less than a year, probably.
Oh, absolutely. Sold the cars, ended up with the wrong crowd. And a year or so into it, I was working as a server. I was working as a bridal attendant. Mm. Whatever job I could come to me, I would have taken. But then this amazing human being came along and saw something in me and took me under their wings. And I learned the business and just grew from there. But it was tough. It wasn't easy.
What was the biggest lesson you walked away with from that?
Don't be too hard on yourself, I think, was one of the biggest lesson that I learned. We are our own biggest critic when it goes personally and in this business. So just be ready. Opportunity when the opportunity is coming, you just have to be ready to go with it and see where that takes you.
What would you say from a business perspective was the biggest lesson you learned from that one?
Personally, I think to be true to myself, to who I am in the industry that perceive, you know, social media is everything. What I think that made Peggy Cash event so successful is working ethically and just having some ethic in what we do. So I think staying true to who you are has been the most important thing for me to have a successful company.
So what brings you the most joy in planning events?
God, so many things. Seeing the room for the first time, seeing each other for the first time, just seeing the end result coming together and seeing my bridegroom super drunk in the middle of the dance floor halfway through the party. It's just all gives me joy. But I think the next day is the most exciting part, the emails, the text messages, the phone calls, you know, because some of the clients that I work with that I have not worked with before, this is one of the most important day of their life. So they're not necessarily sure about the vision or where I'm taking them. And when they see the end result and they have almost that joyful face that I can't believe this is it, all of the hard work, that gives me life. It's really exciting. Exhausting, but super exciting. That is the most joyful part of it.
What do you think the hardest part of planning events? And to preface that, you know, you do a lot of the big Persian events. And for people who aren't familiar with those, it's...
I'm very fortunate.
800 people. And
less than five.
And everyone's late. So.
Yeah. You know, I've been so fortunate with the people that I've worked with in the past and people that I'm working with in the future. I think being able to work with the people that you like working with is the most important part of having a successful event, because there've been instances that we've worked with people who we've not had a control of curating those vendors, and it's become a challenge. So I can't tell you specifically if there is one challenging part of this business that's more difficult than the rest. As long as I can find a solution for that challenge, I think I'm good. But we don't look at it that way. I don't have a specific challenge in the business that kind of stops me from doing the things that I want to do. I have a fortune of being able to maneuver around that with my personality and who I am, and as long as I've been in this business. So I don't know. I don't have a specific subject or a specific thing that would make it more difficult.
What are you seeing now in terms of servicing Gen Zers versus millennials? Like some of the demands that they're asking for.
They are more aware and more involved. I mean, it's so much more difficult. Instagram is a good thing. And a bad thing.
Was it?
So as
I look back and I fight with this because it was great and it is a great tool, but life was just fine without it. And I don't want to be one of those people who's like, oh, I grew up without it. It was life
Anthony,
was fine.
2 years. Yeah. It hasn't even been finally. This October would be a 2 years of our birth of our Instagram. We had nothing. Before that, my business was just as successful. But now, if I tell you, I have not gotten one booking from my Instagram account, I swear to you, I do not lie. All of my business has been a word of mouth. It's just been those referrals to see my work, to have a better idea of what I'm capable of or what I've accomplished or what I've done or what venue I've worked with in the past.
I don't get more business because of Instagram. I'm getting people who would already use this anyway.
Yes.
And I don't necessarily.
It's been the same scenario.
I get
with
some
me.
People who come in and, like, you know, I'll say 1 out of 10 maybe just from that. But 95% of people who would have used this, they're just using Instagram as a resource.
That's really.
I don't necessarily know that I've gotten new business because of my Instagram account.
Made our life more difficult because I know it's coming in with this portfolio and the vision of what they have in mind, but not knowing, well, I have a $10,000 budget for 300 people and this is what I want.
Of course.
Well, you're not getting that.
Sure.
I can give you some rose petals if you like, but It's a good tool, especially when it comes to inspiration. I mean, our people is what inspires me the most, and seeing that as far as what they do and what's trending. So in that retrospect, it's really helpful. But in the bigger scheme of thing, as far as having the business coming in and booking the party, I'm not sure if that's my most useful tool when it comes to our business.
Yeah, I mean, for us, I mean, it increases the workload exponentially because obviously now
you have to have a higher
images.
Well, I don't have that specific person. So I have my husband who's doing all of our Instagram accounts. So
and it's a job. It's become a full-time job. And I can argue the return on investment in a lot of that is not as great as people think. And I think the amount of time people spend on their Instagram accounts to based on what they actually get back from that, if you spent that time sitting down, having conversations with people, if you spent that time networking, engaging with people in a real way, and Instagram is not a real way to engage.
It really isn't.
It is not. And then that's where, because at the end of the day, people are always going to lean towards, in my opinion, really good relationships they have that and the connection they have. And when they're able to share that in a humanistic way, person to person, that's always going to build a deeper connection than liking somebody's photos or dropping them a DM in their inbox.
Right.
Now, drop them a DM, but then ask them to go to coffee so you can get to know them. Yes. And that's why Engage is so successful, is because you actually get to meet people who you follow on Instagram, and then you can put a personalized connection. You know, and for me, one of the biggest things was somebody said to me recently, they were like, wow, I thought you were a real asshole. And I was like, cool. Do you still? And she said, no. But the beauty of that is her perception of me was completely wrong. And that's great.
But I love that about you and your business, because you are such a business savvy person. And I think you're such an amazing entrepreneur that our jadedness, maybe if that's even a word, in our industry has no effect on you. And that was one of the things when I met you in the very beginning, I took it to heart and I turned to learn from it. And can I just tell you, I had less headache from my own people because they didn't know I exist before my Instagram account than I do now. Because, you know, there are amazingly talented people in our industry who have thousands of followers, but then they're not necessarily as busy as I am. What does that mean? Does that translate?
It's like anything else. Look, I have a friend of mine who is on Instagram all the time. And if you look at their Instagram account, they're in love. But they're filing for divorce. You know what I mean? So reality and Instagram
that's
are very
funny.
It's not funny,
not
but
really
it is funny,
funny.
Because it goes to show you that privately they're a disaster.
Yeah.
He just filed for divorce. They're not going to be together anymore. That's reality. But on Instagram, they say, they want the public perception, and business is no different. People want to pretend like they're busy so that it seems like they're busy, but they're not.
But it can get really stressful. You and I had this conversation a few months ago when I was seriously contemplating and just deleting everything and go back to the old wars. And you said, you know, fuck them, let them talk, say whatever they want to say.
Yeah.
But it gets to you because it's a great tool for the people who want to hire you. But in the same token, it puts you out there in ways that may not really be who you are. It's just a snapshot of that moment of whatever it's happening. So I have a love and hate relationship with it, but it's a necessary tool, unfortunately,
in
that business.
You know, in that being said, as a business owner, you have to really consider how you put yourself out there.
Yeah.
And I see people in our industry, in any industry, who put themselves out there in an inappropriate way. And I don't care what anyone says.
But what's inappropriate for you and I may not be inappropriate for them.
Exactly. But the thing is, I think you can never be overly cautious with what you put out.
Because it stays there.
And even if it's only a story, it's still out there and people see that. And you have to ask yourself, if my child put something like that out there, would I be okay? Would I want to work with somebody who puts content like that out there? Would I want to work with somebody who I constantly see drunk, let's say? You know, like every time they post a picture, there's a drink in their hand. Me personally, I tend to be a little bit more on the conservative side.
You certainly are.
For me,
it worked well for you.
For me, I'm very conservative with what I put out there. You'll never see content of me consuming, you know, maybe a drink or whatever, but you're certainly not going to see me with my shirt off running through the streets of New York City drunk. These are things I think people really need to consider, because at the end of the day, clients don't want to see that shit.
No.
And by and large, I don't think people, your peers, will respect you. And there's nothing wrong with just always leaning on the side of playing it a little safer with how you put yourself out there.
We are playing it safer than ever before. Try to put as little as possible and
you put good content and good quality content, something that you're not ever going to, if you have to ask yourself, this is my rule of thumb. If you question if you should post it, don't. That's the simplest, because it's a great barometer.
Yeah,
because,
absolutely.
You know, if you're posting something that you have to consider, ooh, is this appropriate? The answer is then don't post it. You know, for me, that might be different than you, but everyone knows down inside.
Although we are all in the same industry, every person has a specific role in how we put ourselves out there. I mean, you have so much content that it's easy for you to put in and out every single day. For me,
but then just don't put out content. See, that's the thing is, there's this false belief that just putting content out for content's sake to make it seem like you're busy actually makes you more successful. It does not. What makes you more successful is actually focusing in, working, setting actionable goals with steps behind them that you can check off.
I'm telling you.
That's what makes you successful. Not fucking posting pictures to Instagram. I just want to be clear about that. You have to have a mindset, a framework, and this makes me irate because just pretending that you're busy does not make you successful. If you want to be successful, set attainable goals with actionable steps behind them. Check those goals, those steps off until the goals are accomplished, and then you shall be successful. If you just post pictures and pretend like you're busy, first off, people see through that shit. Secondly, one cares.
But who sees through that shit? Is it the client or is it our industry people?
Well,
because
industry
at the end of the day, is a client who you care about.
Of course.
A client who you're
But I don't think
want to
people
hire
think
you.
That it needs to be constant. And that's false. It doesn't. It needs to be quality. And it needs to be, look, we used to post 2 pictures a day, 7 days a week. I post 1 picture 5 days a week now. My account gets as much traction.
We post when we have time. There are days that we don't post a week because I don't have a specific person who manages my social media because I can't afford that particular person to come and do that. So we do it ourselves. So when we have time, whether it's 4 days, whether it's 3 days, and that puts, I've heard that before from my peer, well, I hear you're busy, but you're not posting anything. Well, I physically do not have time and I don't feel the need that I have to post something in order for me to prove that I am busy. I am so busy for next year. You know that even this year. Most of my peers are actually done for the year. I have 400-600 plus party just in January. You know, tomorrow we have a 1,000 people gala, a nonprofit gala at Lincoln Center. So I only post content when I have time. Will the day come for me to be able to have a specific designated person to post everything? Potentially.
Sure.
Do I have a plan to hire somebody now? Absolutely not. Because I don't feel that it's a necessity for us right now to have a successful brand. We are so busy for next year. We're already thinking to bring more people in. So I'm very comfortable not having a constant posting out there because it hasn't changed the way I do business or the way I book clients. It hasn't dropped anything. It hasn't necessarily increased anything. So for me, I'm very comfortable not doing any of that or posting, you know, 2 pictures a day or 3 pictures a day. I have so much pictures that I haven't had a chance to post, but when we have time, we'll post.
And looking back now, right? So been doing this for 15 years. But if you had to give yourself one piece of advice from 10 years ago that would drastically change who you are today, what would that be?
I think for me would be, don't be too hard on yourself. I've made a lot of mistakes, a lot of stupid things that I've done, but to learn when to forgive yourself and move on, I think that would be the most important thing, not to hold on to things. As long as you learn and you go forward, it's done its purpose. And I've grown from that. So that would be it because I've been so hard on myself in this business, as you, as anybody else in our industry. So I think that would be my biggest lesson. Don't be too hard on yourself.
And if something we've talked about, just the way the industry is and how demanding it can be, what would be one lesson the industry has really taught you about who you are and more so like even how to conduct your business?
For me, it would be to stay true to who I am. In an industry that perceive image and perception as everything, what made Pedri Cash even so successful is our work ethics and most importantly, working ethically. I think that's tremendous. And that's why I am only working these days with people who I like working with. And I know that translate at the end to our clients. So stay true to who you are. That would only make your business more successful.
I agree. Well, words well said, because I think all too often, especially now in today's social media age and the way just business has evolved, people sell tomorrow short for today. They don't look a year down the road. They're looking at immediate returns now. And in doing so, when you focus just on that, you take out the human element to things and you put aside what might be better for other people or better for yourself solely for the fact of making a dollar today. And you're not looking 10 years down the road. And when you do that, you're not looking to build a lifetime of relationships. You're looking to actually, in my opinion, a lot of times you're just taking advantage of the situation that's in front of you. And you're taking advantage of the people that are in front of you. And that is not the right way to conduct business. And I think over a long course of period of time, that does expose itself.
And is it really sustainable as in long term, as you said? But you, for Instagram life is not real life. But in,
I wish it was, but, it's
but in our industry, it's perceived that it is. We'll see where that takes us. In a year or so, things has changed so much, but also as it's changing, it's kind of stays the same. So you just have to be ready for whatever comes your way and just go from there.
Well, I know you have somewhere to be today. You have an appointment to get to.
Yes,
and
sir.
I want to be respectful of your time. But
thank
first,
you so much for
having
us.
Please,
I really, really appreciate
anytime,
that.
Anytime, please. I just want to thank you for sharing your story with us. And I want to thank you for being you. You're someone I've known,
you know,
for. I know
that.
And for being here and, you know, for your support for my business over the years and all that. So to let people know, where can they find you on social? Where can they find you if they want to hire you?
It's on Peggy Cash Events or Peggy Cash. Both of them will get you to me and my emails are there. And there's only one Peggy Cash. So it should not be that difficult to find.
Will you share your birth name with us?
It's Peggy Cash. That's all it is.
I love
That's
it.
All you get.
Well, thank you for being here today, Peggy. We love you. And
love
thank
you
for coming.
Thank you.
Hey, everybody. Doing this has been an absolute journey and an amazing time. I have learned so much, and I want to thank you all for listening in. If you kindly would, we would just ask you for your support. If you've liked the show, if you've gained anything from it, please leave us a 5-star review on iTunes or any of the other platforms where you are viewing this. We would greatly appreciate it, and it means the world.